Radical vulnerability, beauty, security, that dichotomy. I think these are all part of our understanding of our own mystery in a way. It's like when we look inside ourselves, we see often the areas where we're comfortable. We see the areas where we've defined ourselves, where we have, you know, a persona. These are all things we're used to. And we might get annoyed by them because it's like, oh, there's that guy again. But it's still, these are layers of ourselves that we're seeing. And we're looking down through that. And we can see, you know, that there's been discussion, of course, in this part of FSD about the oppression of the mind. And there's a point where you've suppressed something or you've put a veil or a little bit of a covering over. It's pretty flimsy usually. Some people strengthen it. The more security you want, the stronger that is. But there's this area that we're protecting in ourselves. And when you let go of that protection, ease up the oppression of the mind and let something flow out, you're discovering some of the mystery in yourself, right? We're all incredibly mysterious. We're the iceberg, right? What you can see is just floating on the top. And the rest is amazing down there below. You know, great thinkers forever have told us that there's so much more flowing down to us. There's so much more rising up through our unconscious. There's so much more, and that artists tap it, and dancers tap it, and writers tap it. But we tap it accidentally all day long. You might hear a bird song, and there's that glimmer of some of the mystery coming up into you because you have the rapture of being alive. And that's when you know the mystery is coming. Wow. Arise. So, arise is happening, and there's going to be 10 to 12,000 mysterious people. They're going to bring their mystery to this place. There's a very mysterious guy right there. This jogging place. And if you don't stop the mystery at that layer of kind of like, well, I know what's going on, this is nice and secure, that guy's just some kind of an idiot, or that person thinks they think so much of themselves. Everything we do at that layer where we stop the mystery and we define something and we say, oh, I believe this person's lost, or I believe, you know, you've imprisoned them and you've imprisoned yourself, because you, when you see the mystery in another, you get to go there too. And we were talking in prep about this. One of the nicest things you can do for somebody is to let them free, you know, to let the mystery in them be there. And if you do, if you don't stay at some safe point, the radical vulnerability, if you let that in and it percolates in, then you're going to hear and say things. And you're going to hear from that person, they're going to say something that's unexpected. It always happens. If you go that place with another person, that level of mystery, something magical will happen. Now, you might ignore it. You might not even notice it. But hopefully, you'll see it. And this is the opportunity of 10,000 mysterious beings. There's a lot of opportunity there for allowing somebody to be as mysterious as you can possibly imagine, and have a radical interest in them, so that your curiosity and your appreciation of who this person unfolding in front of you will get you to that place where you're both in the mystery together. You can call it being together. You can call it whatever. But there's that point where magic starts to happen because you've let go of your habits. And I'm offering an intention that the opportunity is there to do this with all of these people. And Jane was mentioning, well, it is true that you can get a kind of airy-fairy approach to this, where you're really just like, oh, it's all unfolding, it's all unfolding, it's all unfolding. And you're not actually bringing your mystery. You're entertained by the mystery of everyone unfolding. But there's an opportunity, as I said, to meet it halfway, meet their mystery with your mystery, and then let enlightened thinking take part. So something's going to come up. It's going to rise in your consciousness. And if you express that thing that you know, and we could consider that, I don't know, you could consider it a masculine thing, I don't even know, but you express out that thing that you know, they're going to express back something that they know, because in that point where the mysteries touch, there's that radical vulnerability possible. So I'm not really sure how one invokes it. For me, I know last year, I just tried to practice watching my mind, you know, double check, intersect, and catching when I'm saying to myself, oh, that person's like, or, and, you know, discounting anybody, putting them in any particular category, just let them be. And then open up to them, see what happens. And, you know, sometimes it's frightening and they run away. It's fine. That's okay. I mean, we're not trying to hurt anybody. We're not trying to shock anybody. But at the same time, if you're opening, when you open, I think naturally appreciation is no different than love. Appreciation is saying, wow, look at this. I'm amazed. This is beyond me. This has never been here before. It was always under my nose and I didn't see it. So if we're in that state, we are by nature holding them. We're holding them in love and letting them be free. And if in that exchange something comes up and you need to hold them in some other way, you can do it. You know, you've got all the skills. You know how to be there with somebody. But I'm just saying, go ahead, do the Rachel. Be radically vulnerable. And if you see me walking through and I look kind of spaced out, it's okay. It's okay. And join with me. I really hope you all can do there. We can meet our mysteries out there and we can let free all the mystery of all these people, and it'll be lovely. Thank you.